This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. This summer, many Americans heard the phrases Gold Star families and Gold Star mothers for the first time. The terms come from the service flag that originated during World War I. A blue star on the flag or banner a family displayed in their front window meant an immediate family member was serving in the military. If that loved one died, the blue star was replaced by a gold star, allowing others to see the sacrifice that family made in protecting our country. And joining us to discuss the Gold Star tradition are President of the Ohio Department of American Gold Star Mothers, Rebecca Frank, Kenton County Public Library Adult Services Coordinator and author of The Gold Star Mother Pilgrimages of the 1930s, John Graham, and reference librarian with the Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County, Brian Powers. Brian is currently researching the records of 175 Hamilton County men who were killed in action during World War II using Gold Star Mother membership cards. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Rebecca, John, and Brian, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank
you're
you.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rebecca, tell us about the American Gold Star Mothers. How did that group get its start?
Well, our organization started after World War I. It was about 10 years later in 1928. A mother organization called American War Mothers actually started in 1918 when World War I came to an end, founded by Alice French over in Indiana. She was a spearhead in the food conservation program for the country out of Indiana, and she started American War Mothers. And there were, across the country, in the years following 1918, there were thousands, 80,000 American War Mothers. Now, these were both Blue Star Mothers whose sons did come home from World War I, and also Gold Star Mothers whose sons did not come home from World War I. And that's kind of our mother organization. And in 1928, the chapter president in Washington, D.C., a woman by the name of Grace Darling Siebold, was chapter president of the American War Mothers there in Washington, D.C. And she felt, and many of the members of that chapter felt, that the Gold Star Mothers needed to have a separate organization because many of their thoughts and the way they were trying to go on their journey was different than the Blue Star Mothers. And so, actually, the organization American Gold Star Mothers was founded in 1928 by Grace Darling Siebold, and began at that point. There were 35 members initially there in the District of Columbia, and then it branched out over the next several years. It branched out throughout the country. And that's really kind of the beginning of our origination of American Gold Star Mothers, 1928. It's a nonprofit, non-denominational, nonpartisan, 501(c)(3). We're congressionally chartered. One of the few veteran, we're considered a veteran support organization, and our charter is there in Congress and Capitol Hill. And the roots go way back. Unfortunately, you know, it's a designation most mothers never want to have, to be a Gold Star Mother. But thankfully, there is an organization for us where we can all come together to bond and support each other, and also support our veterans throughout the country. And we've been very active advocates for our veteran communities in many, many ways, millions of hours helping our veteran communities in all the local areas. It's a wonderful organization for mothers like me who have lost their children in war. And it's just, like I said, it's a different designation, one a mother never wants to have,
yeah.
But unfortunately some of us do have. And we find a lot of support being with other mothers who share our journey.
Rebecca, when did the Ohio branch of Gold Star Mothers get its start? How long has that been?
Well, actually, the first chapter was formed up in Shelby County in 1936. That was the first active American Gold Star Mother chapter. Shelby County was really, they had a lot of World War I casualties, Shelby County. It was one of the highest counties in Ohio for casualties. And so they formed a chapter in 1936 and was the first in Ohio. Ohio itself became chartered in 1946 as a department for American Gold Star Mothers. Our formation is pretty much like the VFW and the American Legion. Throughout the country, we have state departments, and then from those state departments, we have not posts, but we have local chapters. So the local chapter was Shelby County. That was the first in our country. And Hamilton County chapter came along in 1946 is when it was opened as an active chapter for American Gold Star Mothers.
Now, John, you've written about the pilgrimage by Gold Star Mothers in the 1930s. Tell us about that.
Well, I'll pick up kind of where Rebecca left off, which is to say that from 1930 through 1933, the U.S. government took about 6,500 Gold Star Mothers and Gold Star Widows over to Europe to visit their sons' graves. These men were killed in World War II and buried overseas in a series of eight American First World War cemeteries. These women were the first generation of Gold Star Mothers, and their trips became known as pilgrimages. They were not vacations. The women went overseas to visit, decorate their sons' graves, and to find a chance to come to some kind of closure and loss. During the course of my research, I used the statement, which I'm pretty sure is accurate, the first real public expenditure of funds to eliminate private grief. And the stories, the letters, the diaries and things like that I uncovered during my research, and a lot of them when I was Brian's coworker at the Cincinnati Library downtown, are just remarkable. And I think it's one of those stories that anywhere you turn, any corner you look into, it's very moving and powerful.
So do these pilgrimages still go on today? Are they still doing anything like that?
That's a good question. The answer to that is no, at least in a publicly organized fashion. And what I mean by that is the military has the wise policy of any soldiers kill or die overseas, their bodies are brought back home for the family members. So we don't have American military cemeteries overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan, you might say. In terms of the government portion, no. It was talked about after World War II. But decided no because of the large volume of soldiers buried overseas. There has been until recently a Vietnam veterans group that will take Vietnam Gold Star Mothers over to Vietnam, and their sons are not buried there, but they can see where their sons fought and died. And in talking to those mothers, they have the same feeling of coming to peace and terms with it because they can see where their sons fought and died. They understand they're not coming home, but they do have the grave at home to decorate.
How much does a group like Gold Star Mothers, how much does that help women who've lost someone in the war?
I think it would be immeasurable, and Rebecca can certainly speak to that because of I've heard her speak a couple different times and the powerful testimony she talks about her son. But I would say it was the same exact thing during World War I, to be honest with you, where these were groups of women that went over maybe a couple hundred at a time, over a four-year period of time. They knew the kind of loss they had. They didn't have a grave at home to decorate, and people didn't know what to expect. You know, were they going to have hysterics? Was there going to something break out? Which didn't happen at all. They bore each other up. They healed. They came together, and I think it was enormously valuable for those women then in this pilgrimage and then today with the organized movement.
And Rebecca, what has Gold Star Mothers meant to you and your loss, and how does it help other women?
Well, I think it's the isolation we feel. I know this year, for the first time since I became a Gold Star Mother, my son was a Marine captain. Captain Warren Andrew Frank was killed in, actually 2 days from now, he was killed November 25th in 2008. That year, it was the day before Thanksgiving, we received the news. And I think what happens is, at first, there's a lot of concern and a lot of reaching out from the community and in your church and friends and, of course, family. And you're in so much shock. It's just a lot of people trying to reach out to you. But as time goes on, it'll be 8 years now for our family. You become kind of isolated because people come to a point where they just really don't know what to say to you. Your grief always remains. I close my eyes sometimes and I think it's just like November 25th, 2008. You live with it every day. It's not something that, you know, we think about just on Veterans Day or on Memorial Day. We live it every single day. A very loved, treasured member of our family is no longer with us. I set the table on Thursday. There's an empty seat there for my son. And I think this year, though, with the political environment the way it's been, and, of course, a lot of things came to the surface with Gold Star families. This is the first time since I became a Gold Star mother that really there was any emphasis on Gold Star families. No one usually even knows who we are, what we symbolize. There just really has never been any emphasis on it in today's culture. Now, back when John was talking about the pilgrimages after World War One in the 30s, the World War One mothers, and even after the World War II mothers, there was just such a different sense in the country of strong patriotism and you know, outreach for these mothers. The Gold Star mothers, everyone knew back then who a Gold Star mother was. Today, hardly anybody knows. And part of that is because, you know, with our voluntary military the last 15 years, 1% really have served in the voluntary military, and of that 1%, between Iraq and Afghanistan, there's been about 6,700 casualties. So it's such a small percentage that there hasn't been the huge national support and recognition for Gold Star families like there once was in our country. So when I say it's isolating, that's what I mean. There's not the same type of support for the families like we once had long, long time ago.
Brian, I'd like to talk about the project that you're working on. How did you get started on this? What got you into this in the first place?
Well, about a year ago in October of last year, 3CDC called us up in the Genealogy Local History Department. And, you know, they're renovating a lot of buildings in Over the Rhine. And so they got the assignment to renovate Memorial Hall over in Washington Park. And they were about to start renovation a year ago. And they found these books in the basement, all these boxes of military books, because you may or may not know, Memorial Hall was built for veterans by veterans back in 1908. It was built by Civil War and Spanish-American War.
I take it this was an unexpected find?
Yeah. So they sent me over there because I'm in charge of the Veterans History Project, which is a Library of Congress project and that we do at the library. We interview veterans of World War II and Korea and Vietnam. And so I was sent over there to see if these are books that we might want to add to the library's collections. Well, we already had a lot of these books already. But what I found in one of these boxes was these index cards. And what they were Gold Star Mother membership cards. And I knew about the Gold Star Mothers because of John. John, when we worked together back in, you know, 2000, 2004, in that time period, he was writing his book and he was working on his documentary. So when I saw these cards, I knew exactly what the Gold Star Mothers were. But I knew about the Gold Star Mothers because of John, because of World War One, and these were obviously from World War Two. And so that kind of – I didn't know about this Hamilton County chapter. But these cards, the mothers had filled out the front part, you know, their address, dues that were paid when they joined. And on the back, they had information about their sons, you know, service information, you know, what regiment they were part of, where they're buried at, date of death, sometimes cause of death. So there was about, I've done a recent count, there's about 192 cards, but there's actually about 196 veterans, because there were sometimes there were brothers. There were a couple of these Gold Star mothers had lost two sons and they would be on the same card. So it's about 196 cards that we have. Five of them are World War One Gold Star mothers. Five of them are Vietnam. Three of them are Korea, and then the rest of them are World War II. So what we did, my staff at the library and local history, what we did, we started researching using that information provided by the Gold Star Mothers. We started looking at newspaper clippings and try to find some information, try to find out where they were buried. Were they buried here in town? Were they buried, say, over in Europe? Or were they ever found at all?
What's jumped out at you the most? What struck you the most as you've been doing the research on this?
You know, one of the things I guess I didn't know this. I mean, I'm not an expert in this topic, but, you know, a lot of these guys would get buried overseas, and then years later, like maybe 3-4 years, there was an effort to bring bodies back. So I would find these newspaper articles where they would announce coming from the Asia area would be, you know, 2,000 bodies being returned to the U.S., and that 33 of them were from Hamilton County, and they will all be arriving in Hamilton County on this date. And then they would list all the men, and then they would list usually their parents' names and the address that they lived at. So I wasn't aware of that effort to bring bodies back after World War II.
How much of a toll did World War II take on Cincinnati and the families of Cincinnati?
No, but I know we had the book.
That sounds like a lot of Gold Star families. You're talking about in the hundreds.
Oh, well, this is just the members. I mean, there were thousands of guys who were killed in Hamilton County. We have the Book of Homage at the library, which that was created in the 50s. And I don't know. There's several thousand who died in Hamilton County.
What can you tell us about any of the specific stories?
Well, you know, one of the things I didn't know was you know, Pal Crosley, you know, very famous, owned the Reds and started WLW. His grandson died in Korea. And that was something I didn't know. He was one of the guys whose mother was a Gold Star mother, a member of this group. There were two brothers that were on the USS Arizona, which was sunk during Pearl Harbor. And there were a lot of brothers who were actually on that ship. They weren't the only set of brothers. There was quite a lot. And I think I'm not positive, but I think they changed the rules on that because of that, because there were so many brothers who died at on the USS Arizona. You know, I didn't realize how many guys – there is a tablet in the Philippines in the cemetery called the Tablet of the Missing, and it's like 33,000 guys whose bodies were just never found, you know.
So where's your research go from here? What have you got yet
well,
to work on?
I got volume one here.
Okay.
You know? And volume one.
That looks pretty extensive, too.
Yeah, it's pretty big. Volume one's got newspaper clippings on the Hamilton County chapter. I did some research, and we actually found some relatives of some of these Gold Star mothers who kept a lot of the documentation. One woman in particular was Mary Ferguson, who became the state representative for the Gold Star mothers in the 70s. And her cousin had like all these photos of the Gold Star Mothers groups, and they had all sorts of programs. She even kept, like, she has a telegram that Mary Ferguson received on the news when her son had died. So that's all in this book that we have, Volume 1, which is about half the cards and all these newspaper clippings. And we also have, whenever we could, we try to find burial information, like if they have a tombstone, we try to have that. Because that also provides a lot of information. Sometimes it has their service information on their marker.
And I'd like to point out, too, that you can find links to library resources about Gold Star Mothers on our website, WVXU.org. And Rebecca, John, and Brian, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Thanks.
President of the Ohio Department of American Gold Star Mothers, Rebecca Frank, Kenton County Public Library Adult Services Coordinator and author of The Gold Star Mother Pilgrimages of the 1930s, John Graham, and reference librarian with the Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County, Brian Powers. Brian's currently researching the records of actually you said 192 or so at this point, Hamilton County men who were killed in action during the war. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. You can find archives of our programs at WVXU.org. Pete Reitmeier was the producer for today's show, Belinda Kai was the assistant producer, and Dave Shermer was the technical director. I'm Mark Caney.
Even though the cold weather has settled in, that doesn't mean you have to stop gardening. There are several ways to extend the outdoor growing season, winter crops that do well in our region, and a wide variety of plants you can grow indoors. Our horticulture experts join us for the next Cincinnati Edition to share tips on gardening during the winter months. Cincinnati Edition, tomorrow afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.